Welcome to episode 249. Holy shit, we're fucked up already. Welcome to episode 249 of the Ben Briggs podcast. I am Ben Briggs, strong recovery. It is Sunday, people. I know it's meant to be Saturday's episode, but it is Sunday. Sunday the 18th of December, 2022. And it is late, people, because I was going to get it. I couldn't do it yesterday. I didn't get an opportunity to do it yesterday. And I was going to do it today. And then I got sidetracked watching the fucking greatest, possibly the greatest ever World Cup final ever. I'm talking about ever, people. It is 7:05 at night now. I've just literally finished watching the World Cup, which was fucking unbelievable. Unbelievable game. It was a bit shit for about 80 minutes. Until France perked up, and then it became... That's the thing I liked about it. I like the fact about it that the commentators had literally written off. I watched it on the BBC. I don't even know if it was on ITV. I imagine it was on ITV as well. But I watched it on the BBC. And because they just got the best coverage, the best commentators, the best halftime pundits. So, you know, nothing against ITV. But, you know, I'm a traditionalist here, people. Hey, I pay my fucking TV license. I'm going to get my fucking money's worth. You know what I mean? I pay my TV license. I want to watch it on the fucking BBC. I don't want to see adverts in between. Yeah, I just want to, even though there are adverts now, but strictly for BBC iPlayer stuff. Anyway, that's by the by. Let's not get sidetracked down there, Ben. Come on, let's keep positive. Yeah, I really enjoyed the game. From the perspective of an Englishman watching Argentina and France in the final, you couldn't, from a gut-wrenching perspective with regards to two teams that you don't even want to see make it through the group stages in the final. It was a fucking great final. And when it goes to extra time, everybody's the same. Everybody's the same when it goes to extra time. You just want to see penalties at that point. That's it. You want to see somebody shit out. You've invested in the game for over 90 minutes. You want to see somebody shit out and have a horrendous life at the end of it. That's it, isn't it? But yeah, I watched the World Cup final. Everything's just finished. So I like watching the trophy be awarded in that. But it was kind of, I know it's Argentina, but it was kind of nice to see Messi win it at the end. That's possibly going to be his. If I was him, I'd just call it a day there. You don't want to go on, do you? You don't want to become an Only Fools and Horses, do you? They should have ended Only Fools and Horses when they won, when they sold the fucking watch, walked off into the sunset, but they bought it back and fucked it over. Just, if anything, Lionel Messi, if you're out there listening, I imagine you are. Why wouldn't you be listening to this directly after a World Cup winning final? What else have you got to do other than listen to this podcast? Don't become an Owner of Fools and Horses. Quit now while you're ahead, while you've done that. Have that as your last Argentinian game. Boom. That's it. It's over. It was a fucking amazing game. End-to-end stuff. Really exciting right up until the last minute of extra time. It's the best World Cup final I've ever seen. And who'd have thought that coming out of Qatar? You know, at the start of this, I think, you know, I'm putting it out there, people, but I think it was that final made it worthwhile that those migrant workers perished in the construction of those stadiums. I thoroughly enjoyed that 90 minutes, the extra time and the penalty shootout. And what better final to have in their memory? Everyone's forgot about that. Haven't they? I don't know. It would have been nice at the end if Messi just took off his shirt after he and it was like an LGBT flag underneath. Just fucking cuts them dead. But it was, it was a fantastic final. I really enjoyed it, sitting here watching it. And obviously, how can anyone score and Mbappe score like a hat-trick in a World Cup final and still lose? That is fucking brutal. Absolutely brutal. I've just watched as well online. They've got a live cam from Buenos Aires in Argentina. And it's just fucking chaos. It's going to be chaos over there, for ages. I mean, like, we get carried away in this country when it comes to football. We get, we start getting excited and started celebrating and planning fucking bank holidays when we get in the quarterfinals over here. But it's a fucking different league out there, out in South America and Argentina. When it comes to excitement in football. It was just chaos. Scenes of chaos. They've got like a live cam set up. It must be the center of Buenos Aires or whatever, but there's just a sea of people out on the streets. Unbelievable scenes, people. Unbelievable scenes. But it was a thoroughly enjoyable day. I imagine the commentator, the Argentine commentator, who they kept. That's the good thing about the BBC. Everything's a little bit tongue in cheek with Gary Lineker on there. They piped in the commentary from the Argentine commentator, who does all the commentary for Argentine TV and Argentine football, and it sounded like he was having a fucking heart attack every time Argentina scored. I mean, it's the classic Margaret Thatcher, Princess Diana, your boys took one hell of a beating. It's that sort of, it's more than just a game to people out there in Argentina. I mean, it is for a lot of people over here as well, but, it's a fucking another level when the Argentine commentator is just going, go, like for ages. Who wouldn't want to see that every now and again in this country? We're a little bit more reserved over here, I think. What a fucking World Cup final. It's the best World Cup final I've ever seen. And you just want, I know penalties is heartbreaking, and it is, and you can kind of tell. You can kind of tell when people are walking up. They do that Chris Waddle walk, didn't they? When they're going to take a penalty. I mean, I'm not saying, I'm not saying I'd be able to do it, particularly now at the age of 45. I don't think I'd ever have been able to do it. That sort of pressure in that moment. There's no pressure, I don't think, like that. I mean, a penalty shootout in the World Cup final. I don't think there's any other sort of pressure. I think that's possibly up there, just slightly under that World Cup final pressure is coming home smelling of perfume and you're an hour late. And you got to think on your feet. That's the sort of pressure you're looking at. I can't go on. Hey, I'm full of, I've enjoyed it, people. Hey, let me have my moment. I've never been under that sort of pressure and just sort of, it's the Chris Waddle walk up. When you see Chris Waddle take that penalty, where he blasts it over the bar, you can see he's walking up and his head's down. And, there was a bit of like gamesmanship or shithousery, as Gary Lineker almost said on the commentary. With the Argentine goalkeeper kicking a ball away and fucking, just playing fucking mind, as if it's not bad enough. You've got the Argentine goalkeeper as you step up to take a penalty, just kicking a ball away, trying to fuck with your head and fuck with your mind a little bit. I mean, it worked. Dirty, dirty people. I think they were a little bit dirty in the first half as well, but France played well. Argentina played well. That's from a having no investment in either side and not really wanting either side. It kind of made it, you know, I didn't want a team. It's kind of nice two teams that you fucking don't really like in the final because you can get excited about every goal going in. Every goal. So, yeah, it was just it was fucking good, man. It was good. That's that over with, isn't it? Over with for another 4 years. It looks like Gareth Southgate's staying on. So we've got the calls. What's the next one? Euros in 2 years and then the World Cup again in 4 years' time, which is in Canada, America, and Mexico. Three of them. Does that mean automatic? That must mean automatically that Mexico, America, Mexico, United States, and fucking Canada, they must all qualify for the World Cup then because the hosts qualify, don't they? So that's a good way of getting into the World Cups, isn't it? I mean, Canada would never make it anyway. When's the last time Canada were in a World Cup? I have no fucking idea. Let's Google that. Canada World Cup. Were they in this one? Can't even remember. World Cup qualifying history. Let's have a look. Canada World Cup qualifying history. Yes, that's what I fucking mean. Is Canada guarantees the spot? Yeah, it should be. In the event of co-hosting, the number of co-host countries qualify automatically will be decided by the FIFA Council. Still, there is a widespread expectation that all three hosts. Yeah, they should do, shouldn't they? Canada at the FIFA World Cup. Let's have a look. 1986 FIFA World Cup. Oh, yeah, 2022. I didn't. They're that fucking irrelevant. Oh, yeah, fucking hell. Yeah, they're in Morocco and Croatia. Fucking what a retard I am. Jesus. I didn't even realise. How long ago was that? Like about 3 weeks ago? That's my memory, people. Yeah, they got 0 points. Yeah. They lost all three games on a goal difference of -5. They scored 2 and 7 against. Jesus. Yeah, 1-0 to Belgium. They lost 4-1 to Croatia and they lost 2-1 to Morocco. Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah, so they should... Then Mexico and United States should qualify. Jesus. But before that, it was like 1986, which oddly enough, that's a weird tie-in with Argentina. Wasn't that the last time Argentina won the World Cup, 86, with Maradona? Yeah, it was nice. It was kind of nice to see, you know, Messi do it, really, to be honest. But, you know, that's it now. Just cut your career there. At the end of tonight, burn your boots, go home. See your missus and your kids and do that. That's it, isn't it? So that's the World Cup done for another 4 years, people. It seems like it's gone quick, and it seems weird by the fact that Match of the Day is back on Boxing Day. So Match of the Day starts again on Boxing Day. So, like, literally in a week's time, the Premier League will be back on, I think. Yeah. That should be it, shouldn't it? Premier League restart. Let's restart. Premier League restart date. No. After World Cup. 26th, yeah. Fucking hell. So that's over for a week and then everyone's back. Fucking great. Anyway, people, let's not get too hung up on the World Cup, even though I have for 15 minutes. Holy fucking shit. What have I been up to since I last spoke to you? I did a gig on Thursday night. I had Friday and Saturday night off this week, and I kept it off because I had a few personal bits to get sorted. I was thinking about gigging Friday. I got offered a gig Friday, but I thought, no, I'm going to take it off, sit, get some new stuff written, and sort out a couple of bits. But everything seems to be sort of winding down now towards Christmas. So I've got a couple of gigs in between Christmas and New Year. I've got a gig New Year's Eve as well. God knows what that's going to be like. Hopefully it'll be all right. on Thursday, I had a local gig. I was emceeing a gig in Earthlingborough in Northamptonshire, 17 miles away from my house. Fucking beautiful. And it was all right. It was in a local pub. It was for the Comedy Crate guys, and it was a fucking rough pub. I mean, Earthlingborough at the best of times is not nice. I used to play football years ago. We used to play teams from Earthlingborough every now and again. It was always a horrible, fucking dirty game. There'd always be some sort of fucking hassle. It's one of those places where there's, you know, and this pub was in the middle of like a council estate. The pub itself was fucking beautiful. It was like stone pub building. It looked really out of place. You know what I mean? It was like a stone building, like old stone surrounded by like a council estate. It looked as though it had just been like somewhere from the Cotswolds had just been dumped in the middle of this housing estate. I'm assuming the people lived in that pub years ago, when it was like a country house or something like that, didn't expect to be surrounded by a council estate afterwards. Not that there's anything against council estates, right? But you know what I mean. You know, there's people hanging around looking dodge. There's a kid walking around in a fucking onesie. When I was having a vape outside the gig, there's a fucking kid standing on the corner of the pub just in a fucking pink onesie. And you're like, you know, just standing there, and then some heavily obese parents came along and walked up the road complaining about people parking not outside their own house. Just fucking walking along moaning as they're walking by. It's fucking unbelievable, man. You feel like going, listen, sweetheart, I ain't got nothing to do with this. My car's parked down the road there, yeah? I've got nothing to do with parking outside your fucking house. If it was up to me, I wouldn't be parking in this fucking area whatsoever. But unfortunately, I am employed to entertain your fucking estate colleagues this evening with mirth and merriment for Christmas, you miserable old bitch. Obviously, I didn't say any of that. I just judged her as she tried to negotiate up a very slippery hill and frosty hill in fucking slippers. Maybe that's it. Maybe that was it. You know, maybe that was the karma she had. By walking up that slight gradient that she made look like she was trekking up fucking Everest because she was wearing fluffy slippers on an icy path. That could have been it. It's the best fucking moonwalk I've ever seen an obese person do. As she's fucking slipping back. Ah, dear. Anyway, that was quite funny. The gig itself was all right. It was a little bit, there was a rough element in the pub. Most of the people in there were quite older. There was a bit of a rough element in the pub. There was like people in baseball caps at the bar, which, you know, again, I'm not casting aspersions, but you know the type. If I say people in baseball bats with fucking shaved heads up to there and then some sort of weird fucking, you know, people seem to shave the fucking sides and the back of their head just so you can see that fucking knuckle thing on the back of their head. They've always got a bit of a knuckle sticking out of the back of their head. And there's some wild stereotypes for you. You know, they've got a tattoo on the neck. That's it. Tattoo on the neck's up there, innit? You know, for roughness. Not many people who aren't rough don't have a tattoo on the neck. I know everybody has tattoos these days, but, you know, you got one big fucking tattoo on the neck. That's slightly lower down than, you know, you got tattoo on the face, tattoo on the neck, then the knuckles. That's a warning sign, isn't it? It's like animals in the wild displaying red or yellow, you know, it's a warning sign, isn't it? Tattoo on the face, big warning sign. Tattoo on the neck. Not many people get a tattoo on the neck. You know, that's a warning sign. Tattoo on the knuckles, the old love and hate on the knuckles. I never got that. I never got the why you would put love and this is what I punch with and this is what I finger fuck with. Is that it? Is that what that means? I've never with anybody who's ever had love and hate tattooed on their knuckles, I've never actually gone, just out of interest, can you just clarify this for me? Does that mean you fight with that hand and you fucking finger people with that hand? Is that it? Do you use a bit of both sometimes? If your missus likes the rough stuff, do you have to call in the old hate knuckles every now and again? Yeah, I've never understood that. I've never understood why you would advertise that as well. And what happens if, you know, they always have it right hand love and left hand hate, don't they? Usually. I don't know what the origins of that tattoo are, to be honest. Love and hate tattoo. I get sidetracked. I'm trying to learn stuff here, people. Love and hate tattoo. Yeah, it's always seems to be love on the right hand and hate on the left. What happens if you don't punch with your left hand? Oh, that would be the most brutal thing, wouldn't it? That would be the most brutal thing, wouldn't it? If you have some sort of work accident and your right hand gets taken off and you've only got the hate left. Sorry, sweetheart. I don't think this relationship's going to work out. No, I can't do anything with that hand. That's my hate hand. It has to be. Has to be. That is strictly for hate, the left hand. The right hand I lost in a machining accident. So all my love, it's taken all of my loving, baby. Yeah, I don't know origin. Let's have a look at this. The original love for hate tats appeared on the knuckles of a psycho preacher who trotted out his good versus evil baloney as a cover for murdering widows for their cash. Is that real? I know, that's from a film. Who has the love-hate tattoo? What does the love tattoos on knuckles? Often found on knuckles, the tattoo symbolises a willingness to go to prison for your crew or gang. Does it? Because is that true? The tattoo symbolises a willingness to go to prison for your crew or gang? Because I've seen fucking, you know, guys with beards with it on. You know what I mean? I've seen, you know, people, you know, the type, the people with beards who have loads of tattoos because they haven't got a fucking personality. all juiced up on steroids, aren't they? They got a beard because beards are fashionable. They got the fucking Peaky Blinders haircut because that was a popular TV program a couple of years ago, and they haven't fucking found another popular TV program with a fucking haircut they like. So they have that because they secretly all want to be, you know, live in the 1920s. It's the hipsters, isn't it? I've only ever seen, like, mainly hipsters with the love and hate tattoo, and they're not, like, old school. I've seen, you know, I've been in pubs years ago and seen old school people from the 60s with the love-hate tattoos on. But, yeah, I've not, that can't be right. Love-hate tattoo. Three dots. What's that one? Oh, fucking hell. Three dots tattoo represents mi vida loca, which translates to my crazy life. So if you've got three dots by your fucking eye, you're a fucking lunatic. Is that it? Who knew this all about? Tattoos of love-hate tattoos have a terrifying origin in West Virginia. Oh, God, this ain't going to be good. Right, yeah, that was the fucking, I don't know. I know the swallows is something, isn't the swallows something to do with fucking, doesn't it all stem back to all the tattoos on your fucking hands and shit, stem back to the Navy days and like sailors and shit like that. I don't know, maybe it's, yeah. Maybe I haven't researched this enough. Anyway, we got a bit sidetracked. So anyway, somebody had a, you know, there was an awful lot of neck tattoos at the gig. That's the point I'm trying to make, people. It was a little bit rough. We got through it. There was some great people on the bill. Ricky Balshaw was on the gear, on the bill, and Mark Rowe and Jerry Kay. Everybody did really well, to be honest. I mean, it wasn't an easy gig. It was fucking locals in their local pub, and you always get that fucking, you know, you always get that shit where there's an air of menace. That's what I'm trying to say about the gig. There was a fucking air of menace, but we managed to get through it. You can always tell when you walk in. All those gigs are the same. They'll make it a private event and essentially pay. People will pay to go in and just sit in their local pub. So if they make it £10 a ticket, people will pay the £10 a ticket and then continue to chat at the bar, which a few of them did. Most of them, the elder crowd were a little bit better and a little bit more attentive, but the old fucking bad boy motherfuckers, they were a bit cunty at the bar, to be honest. But we got through it. That was the main thing. And then I came home that night and I thought I'd watch some TV. Oh, yeah. I'm still watching TV. Yeah, I've got a TV. Yeah, jealous. And I switched on. There was this program about fucking Sugar Daddy. Sugar Daddy set me free. Wasn't that song from the 90s or something like that? Anyway, it's not about sugar daddies, is it? It's about hot women, hot young women, not necessarily that hot, to be honest. I was actually quite surprised by these sugar babies. They call them, I think there's a fucking weird, they didn't explore this in the program, right? But there's a weird fucking, I'm your dad, sort of like you're my daughter, kind of weird relationship there. Nobody says it, yeah? Nobody says that whole fucking sugar daddy, fucking sugar baby thing. And the guys are willing to go along with it because they're old guys and they've got fucking, you know, they've got a bit of cash. They want to be made to feel good and the women are going to go along. Fair play to them. There's no such thing as sugar mummies, is there? Oh, Jesus, if I was to get a sugar mummy, she'd be in her 80s, I imagine. I would have the oldest sugar mummy ever. I'm 45 years old myself now. For me to get a sugar mummy, they've got to be in their 80s, I think. Just some doddery old woman who can't remember how much she's paying me every month. I've got to fucking contact her every month. Oh, I've only got a checkbook. Can't you do a bank transfer? I've only got a landline phone. Oh, Jesus. That'd be... dragging her down to the fucking bank every month, holding her hand as she signs the fucking check for me as I pay it in. Sounds like a lot of hassle. But these sugar daddies, they pay money every month, basically. This is also the thing as well with this sort of situation, right? There's no sex involved, no sex involved. What's in it for the guy? He just gets messages, random sort of like text messages off. Really? There's no, you know, I know the cameras are turned on and that sort of thing. And you've got to make it, you know, perceived to be a lot cleaner than it actually is. But there's sex going on, isn't there? At no point did you say that. These women are going, oh, no. Just out of nowhere, right? He just pays my rent every month. He just likes giving me money and I just chat to him on the phone. Are you sure about that? You sure you ain't having a little suck there, sweetheart, for that rent money? Because it seems odd. From what I know about guys, right? I don't know a lot of multimillionaires, right? But from what I know about guys, they're not going to pay out or invest in anything where in the back of their head, they're not thinking, oh, shit, I'm going to get my fucking pecker sucked here, baby, and I am investing this money in that.
just out of nowhere, he pays my rent every month. All I do is text him. People like the company. Shut up. I weren't born yesterday, fucking sweetheart. I know how it works, yeah? The woman who was doing it, I think her name's Olivia Atwood. I had to Google that earlier. Who was actually, like, presenting the show or whatever. She actually went in. Now, this is... These are the women that they're not getting anything sexual. Yeah? And then immediately she gets a message about a guy wanting this woman to... Olivia Atwood to... I think it's Olivia Atwood to shit in her mouth. To shit... For her to shit in his mouth and she's going to pay... He's going to pay her. Jesus, I'm confused. She shits in his mouth and he pays her 400 quid for that. Amazing. There's guys, I don't get the thrill of that. I don't know even how you start to get that fetish. I don't know. You know what I mean? You can't just start off with that, can you? That fetish. Hey, what are you into? I'm into people. Actually, I quite like people shitting in my mouth. You know, there's got to be stages where you get to the stage of, you know, you've wiped your ass maybe, there's a little bit on your finger, you have a bag of crisps, you don't notice the bit on your finger, the next minute it's in your mouth and you're like, these fucking crisps are nice. And it all starts from there. I don't know. There's some fucking weird people out there, isn't there? Paying £400 to shit in, you know. If it's just shit that you want, just buy a dog. You know, in the long run, it's going to be cheaper. You're going to, or a cat. You're going to save a fortune on cat litter, aren't you? I don't know. Is that worse, having a cat and getting a cat to shit in your mouth? I don't know. You're getting it for free, aren't you? You're paying for the cat anyway. That's a one-off fee, isn't it? Obviously, you've got to feed it. Or it ain't going to be shitting. But, you know, you can manipulate his diet, put a few tasty, tangy things in there, whatever you want. I don't know. And how do you... Oh, God. There's not enough... There's not enough toothpaste in the world, is there, or mouthwash? You'd have to floss after that. I'm told regularly by my hygienist... at the dentist that I need to floss more to get all the bits out of my teeth in between the gaps and shit like that. There would not, you know, that is a heavy, heavy brushing session after that, isn't it? Paying £400 for somebody else to shit in your mouth or piss in your mouth. Oh, anything. Man. I have a fucking bad gag reflex in that. That even the thought of that is... I'm sorry this has been a bit shit heavy, but I was just amazed that there's people out there who actually pay other people to for the other people to shit in their mouth. All right, man. That's 400 quid expense for that. You need mouthwash, toothpaste, toothpicks, depending on their diet. Ah, Jesus. They make it work for them, though. I bet there's right now some woman who's perching over a rich man's mouth like that, just poking out. It's a difficult one to put on your tax form, that, isn't it? What do you do for a living? I defecate into strangers' mouths. Jesus, you earn 70 grand a year at that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I am pretty good. What better way to end this episode about the World Cup than a mouth being shat in? I don't know. It's been a great day, people. I've had a great day today. I've watched the best World Cup final ever, and I've discussed I don't know who has the power in that relationship as well, the old sugar daddy or sugar babes relationship, because it seems pretty even. I know it's like monetary based, but the women are getting something out of it. Fair play to them. You know, they're offering a service. Not all these people are lonely people, are they? These rich people. And it's not all, you know. They offer, it seems pretty consensual. But it just seems, you know. How do you settle down in a relationship
with someone who's been a sugar babe. Somebody said they, like in it, they've got a boyfriend and they're on the phone to their sugar daddy as their boyfriend is there with them. How the fuck do they put up with that? I don't understand. I don't understand how people could put, I know it's like a monetary thing and, you know, maybe I'm just like naive. Maybe I'm just a romantic. Yeah. That's it, people. I've decided I'm a romantic. Just like that. How do you, I don't know how you put up with that. Like as a guy, how you would, you know, you can tolerate. I know this sounds a bit misogynistic or whatever, but you're, I think if it was the other way around, if it was the guy on the phone to an older woman and she's paying him money and he's sending through nudes and things like that, you'd be a little bit, as a woman, you'd be a little bit, it's meant to be just me. Those special moments, isn't it? You know, those special moments that you share with somebody when you're getting to know people, when you've been in a relationship a while, all of those things are interrupted by somebody else. And that's just for like money, isn't it? I don't know, man. I don't know. This could be why I'm single. I just think about those things a lot. I'm like, here's a special moment. We're sitting on the sofa, we're having a good laugh. I've just got to go off in a minute and send this old woman a picture of my dick, sweetheart. I'll be back in a moment. Hey, it's £300. I'll buy you a necklace with the money. That came from a dick pic to an old lady. There you go, sweetheart. Enjoy yourself. Anyway, I'm never going to do that. That's for sure. I would never pay £400 for somebody to shit in my mouth. Fuck me. I mean, you've gone off the rails there, haven't you? You know, you gotta, if you're even sending that message, can you shit in my mouth for £400? You, after you send the message, you've got to think, am I fucking losing it here a little bit? Things, this is getting out of hand, man. It's getting out of hand. It's bad enough when you eat something like a Snickers bar. That's bad enough to pick out your teeth. anyway, that was 37 minutes, people. That was episode 249 of the Ben Briggs podcast. We'll try to keep it a bit cleaner next time or not, depending. Have a good rest of your week, motherfuckers. I will speak to you on Tuesday. Until then, take care.